welcome to the Just Three Things podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Hall, speech therapist and founder of Speech Therapy with Charlotte. This podcast is for parents who are waiting for speech therapy for their child. I am on a mission to help parents use this time productively and guide them on a journey where they transform from feeling worried, frustrated, and overwhelmed to feeling supported, positive, and empowered. Whether you're waiting for your first appointment or a follow-up one, this podcast is for you. In each episode, I'll take a question from a parent or carer and guide them on next steps, giving just three things to focus on next to help reduce that overwhelm. While my podcast focuses on helping children who are aged under seven, you might find some of the information useful for older children too. Now, let's get started. The general advice given in this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for additional professional advice given as part of individualised and tailored speech and language therapy care. Some names in this podcast have been changed at my listeners' request to respect their family's privacy. Hello! Welcome to episode six! Episode six! Can you believe it? So my original intention was to make 10 of these podcast episodes and see how they were received. So let me know if when I get to 10, you want me to continue. Something I'm thinking about a lot at the moment. I have had great engagement and I'm so happy with everyone who's listened. And I've just been looking at all the analytics for the podcast and I've been looking at where everyone's been listening from. So I'm going to read out the list because I'm super proud and really grateful to you all as well. So hello to those of you listening in England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales, Ireland, the USA, Australia, Peru, the Cayman Islands and Slovenia. How cool that you've been listening from all over those places. I really, really appreciate it. I know I have promised you short podcast episodes, so not too much of an intro spiel, but I do hope that you're all okay. Today, we're going to be talking about routines. So I had Alana get in touch. She's the mum of two. And she had seen that I'd done a bit of work talking about how important routines are for speech and language development. And she struck up a conversation with me because she'd always thought of routines kind of being much more associated with, you know, we talk about that bedtime routine, don't we? So she said that she'd heard about routines before from her sleep consultant and talking about the importance for kind of sleep and healthy bedtime habits, but she hadn't realized that it was useful for speech and language development. And she was asking a few questions about that. And it's definitely not the first time I've been asked that question. So I thought it would be useful to do an episode where we delve into routines a bit more and why they are so useful and how you can get started with using routines at home. So firstly, when I talk about routines, I'm really just thinking about doing or saying things in a similar way each time. It's that kind of repetitive nature and includes all sorts of different things like daily routines, of course, things like singing and stories and activities, perhaps people games, things like peekaboo, tickles games, and often families have their own kind of little unique routines that you've developed over time as well. So routines where we're doing and saying a similar thing each way. And the reason why they're really important for speech and language development is, well, there's many factors, but I would say for me that the two main things are, and I've spoken about this before, firstly, when we get engaged in routines with our child, we help our children feel safe and secure. And when children feel safe and secure, they feel calm and ready for learning. So we're really sort of helping with regulation, feeling calm and safe, and doing things in a familiar way is a really nice thing. Most children love that sense of routines. It doesn't mean you have to stick to a routine all the time, but if we do things in a predictable way, then it does help children be clued into what's going to happen, helps them anticipate, and they don't have to use so much of their efforts just kind of wondering and trying to work things out. And it just means that they're ready to actually be a bit more open for learning. And then the second thing, as I talked about before, routines are very repetitive in nature. And we know that repetition is really key for all aspects of learning, but particularly language learning and vocabulary learning. If we're doing and saying the same things over and over again, it's going to help our children develop those more concrete pathways in their brain. And
they will understand new words and start to use new words or communicate. If they're not communicating using words, it might help them have opportunities for expressing themselves in whatever way they are doing. So where can we get started with this? So firstly, I think you need to like kind of almost do an audit and think about what routines you've already got in place at home. So what daily routines you have, and that will include some of the obvious ones like bath time, bedtime, brushing teeth, getting dressed, all your meal times. And then there may be ones that are more specific to your family dynamics. So for example, there may be some sort of commute or school run that you guys are doing, and there'll be a routine as part of that. Or you might have a weekly routine that every Tuesday you go swimming, or every Friday they go to granny's house. So there'll be some daily or weekly routines, that things that happen all the time. And I want you to write a list, maybe just on the notes on your phone, go through and think about what routines you're already doing. And then the other ones that your children seem to particularly enjoy might be more like play-based routines. So are there any routine or repetitive activities that they seem to particularly enjoy? So I'm going to give you some examples so you can kind of start thinking along the lines that I'm thinking on. Singing and stories provide excellent routines because we tend to do those in a repetitive way each time. Activities like peekaboo, or tickles games, or chase games. We call lots of those things people games because they're games that you can play that don't really require any toys. They're based just around people. So are there any particular songs, stories, or people games that your child likes? Add them to the list. And then anything that's like a unique routine that might be a bit kind of bizarre, but you know, something that your family always does together. So just as an example, when my kids started weaning, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, you might get like dietitians and nutritional experts on here saying that was a strange thing to do, but we used to basically like celebrate at the end of each meal by, we made up this song, good job, well done, you are a superstar, and it became this flamboyant routine that we would engage in at the end of the meal with the kids when they kind of tried new foods or whatever it was that they'd done. So you know, if there's any kind of unique little repetitive routines that you and your families engage in, then add them to the list as well. So that's the first thing of my three things. Just kind of do an audit, write a list of the routines that you're already engaged with. And then once you've got that list, and bear with me here because it's all going to make sense in the end, I think it would be good, and you'll have to kind of do this as you're writing down your list anyway, to try and think of a name for each of these routines, because sometimes we don't have a name for that thing that we do, or more often we call something by different names each time. So if you have story time, you might sometimes call it story time. You might sometimes call it book times. You might sometimes say, let's have a book. Or, you know, there's just different ways that we can say that. And actually, when we're trying to support children to understand, it can be quite useful if we're consistent in what we're calling these things, because it will help them understand and anticipate what we're talking about, clue them in so that they're feeling that sense of calm and ready to engage in the routine. But we also want to help give them a way of being able to kind of express and maybe request that from you in the future. So we want to be really consistent with what we call it so that they get a bit quicker at learning that when you say those words, that's what that means. So I'm just going to give you another example. If your child really loves singing and their favorite song is Twinkle Twinkle, you might sometimes call it Twinkle. You might sometimes call it Twinkle Twinkle. You might sometimes call it the Star Song, whatever. And that's not necessarily bad or wrong, but if you want to speed up how quickly your child is going to be able to benefit from this routine, having one name that you use consistently is going to be a bit more helpful. Equally with that, I would suggest, if you haven't listened to the last episode, episode 5 on using visuals, I would suggest that if your child is either not speaking yet, or they kind of are not always speaking in every situation, so perhaps sometimes they prefer to use nonverbal communication or they find that easier, have a think about not only what you're going to call these routines, but whether or not there's some sort of visual clue that you can show your child at the same time as doing the routine. So if you're trying to tell them that it's bath time, can you hold up a towel? so that you're kind of consistently showing them what it is, but you're also kind of modeling a way that they could maybe request for the bath if they're not confidently able to say that to you yet. If you're consistently holding up a flannel or a towel or whatever it is, you're kind of giving them the opportunity to, one, learn that visual, using visuals is cool and okay and welcome in your home, but you're also kind of cluing them in to say if they wanted to request a bath or a wash at some point, they could maybe go and grab that sponge or flannel or whatever it is. Equally, if you had little objects, I think I spoke about this in episode 5 as well, if you had a bag of little objects that represented their favorite songs and you're consistently saying, "Should we sing Twinkle Twinkle now?" whilst you're holding up the plush star, if you have that kind of box or bag of items somewhere and they can go over to it and grab the star for you sometimes to request that routine, that would be a really, really nice thing. So thinking of not only having your list there, but kind of consistently knowing what you're going to call all of these little routines, and even think of whether or not there is something visual that you can show. So it doesn't have to be an object, by the way. It could be a picture. So you might have a visual timetable or a routine up somewhere, but you might also have one that's more like a choice board where your child gets to go up and pull off a picture if it's something that they want to request for. So that's kind of steps 1 and 2 there. So 1, listing all of the routines, but 2, knowing what you're going to call them and having an object associated with them. And then the 3rd thing links in with episode 4. So you might want to listen to episode 4 for this to make more sense. But in episode 4, I talked about how interactions should be to and fro or give and take. And we don't want to be dominating the interaction by doing all of the talking and communicating. We want to do that a bit, but we also want to offer up opportunities for children to take their turn in the conversation in whatever way they can. So if they're not speaking yet, they might take their turn using their nonverbal communication, their body language, or by, as I said before, passing you a picture or doing something that's not talking. But we need to make sure that we build into our routines opportunities for children to take a turn. So maybe if you've got like a long list of 30 different routines that your children engage in, I would just maybe have a think about getting started with 2 or 3 of those and think about which ones you can prioritize. But for those 2 and 3 that you're going to reflect on, have a think about what your child's turn is going to be in that routine. So what kind of communicative turn can they take within any of those routines? So I'm going to give you some examples, but this is going to vary a bit depending on where your child's at and what your routines are. But for example, if you are having mealtime, most people have a mealtime with their children, can your child get involved by maybe choosing what plate they want to eat off or what cutlery they're going to use? So you could maybe be getting stuff out and offer them a choice between 2 different ones to see if they can communicate to you what they want. Or as you're serving up the food, is there an opportunity for them to state a preference of what food goes on their plate? Perhaps you could have the food in kind of what do they call it, like family serving, so you can get the food at the table and then you all choose what's going to go on your plate from the things. If you are doing bath time, can you set the routine up so that your child gets to tell you which bit of their body they want to wash next or want you to wash next? If you're having a singing time, can you do it so you sing the songs, but then you leave a pause so they can fill in the gap? So you might do twinkle, twinkle little, and then you might look at them, lean in, show them that you're doing that expectant waiting and see if they can fill in that gap by either saying star or maybe doing one of the actions for the song. And if you're doing more of a game, maybe bubbles or a peekaboo game or something, perhaps you could get your child to do something like ready, steady, go to tell you when they want you to start. Or you could ask them if they want more or if they're finished. And you could use some of the signs that we've spoken about in episode 5 to give them that choice and then see if they can tell you if they want to keep singing, they want more of that, or if they want to finish the activity. So there's lots of opportunities with each of our interactions with our children to do that give and take. But sometimes it just takes a bit of reflection and a bit of planning. And as I say, I wouldn't try to do all of these things within every routine to start with. You need to get confident And as I've mentioned in previous episodes, some of this stuff isn't going to just happen overnight, either for you or your child. So you need to commit to trying to do this consistently for a period of at least 2 weeks, where you're going to be thinking about your routine, what you're going to call it, whether or not you can give your child some sort of visual clue at the same time of telling them that the routine's coming up, and how they're going to take a turn, a conversational turn within that routine. I hope that all makes sense. It's slightly more complicated than some of the other things that we've talked about. Not complicated, but I guess a bit more specific to speech and language, whereas I know some of the other episodes definitely like cross into other areas of development as well. So listen to it for a second time if you can, if it's not all making sense. And then of course, reach out to me if you've still got questions after that. You can reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at Speech Therapy with Charlotte, or you can send me an email, charlotte@speechtherapywithcharlotte.com. Hope you've all found this episode helpful, and I'll catch you soon. Bye. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with somebody else who might benefit. Head over to my website, speechtherapywithcharlotte.com, to subscribe to my mailing list so that you are kept up to date with everything I have to offer. Thanks for listening.